This verse we usually chant next. I almost chant the whole verse. Anyway, we're reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, text number 4. Narayanam.
Narayanam.
Namakritya.
Namakritya.
Narautamam.
Narautamam.
Naram chaiva.
Naram chaiva.
Narautamam.
Narautamam.
Devim.
Devim.
Sarasvatim.
Sarasvatim.
Vyasam.
Vyasam.
Tata.
Tata.
Jayam.
Jayam.
Udirayat.
Udirayat.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva. Narautamam.
Naram chaiva. Narautamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayam Udirajat.
Tato Jayam Udirajat.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayam Udirajat.
Tato Jayam Udirajat.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayam Udirajat.
Tato Jayam Udirajat.
Narayanam.
Narayanam.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Namakritya.
Namakritya.
After offering respectful obeisances.
Naram Chaiva.
Naram Chaiva. And Narayan Rishi.
Narayan Rishi.
Narautamam.
Narautamam.
The supermost human being.
The supermost human being.
Devim.
Devim.
The goddess.
The goddess.
Saraswatim.
Saraswatim.
The mistress of learning.
The mistress of learning.
Vyasam.
Vyasam.
Vyasadev.
Vyasadev.
Tata.
Tata.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Jayam.
Jayam.
All that is meant for conquering.
All that is meant for conquering.
Udirayat.
Udirayat.
Be announced.
Be announced.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Okay, Subhi, Hare Krishna. You gotta give them a little attention, right? Maybe you realize that they're actually still in the center, then they can concentrate. Okay. Remember, it says here, the goddess of learning is female, so listen up. So you can learn something, teach it to others. Okay. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadev, the author. Please repeat. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam,
before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam,
which is the very means of conquest,
which is the very means of conquest,
one should offer respectful obeisances.
One should offer respectful obeisances
unto the personality of Godhead Narayan.
Unto the personality of Godhead Narayan.
Unto Narayan Rishi.
Narayan Rishi.
The supermost human being.
The supermost human being.
Under Mother Saraswati.
Mother Saraswati.
The goddess of learning.
The goddess of learning.
And under Srila Vyasadeva, the author.
And the Srila Vyasadeva, the author.
Purport by His Divine Grace. All the Vedic literatures and the Puranas are meant for conquering the darkest region of material existence. The living being is in the state of forgetfulness of his relation with God due to his being overly attracted to material sense gratification from time immemorial. His struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual, and it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans. If he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must reestablish his eternal relation with God. And one who wants to adopt such remedial measures must take shelter of literatures such as the Vedas and the Puranas. Foolish people say that the Puranas have no connection with the Vedas. However, the Puranas are supplementary explanations of the Vedas intended for different types of men. All men are not equal. There are men who are conducted by the mode of goodness, others who are under the mode of passion, and others who are under the mode of ignorance. The Puranas are so divided that any class of men can take advantage of them and gradually regain their lost position and get out of the hard struggle for existence. Srila Sutta Goswami shows the way of chanting the Puranas. This may be followed by persons who aspire to be preachers of the Vedic literatures and the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, and it is especially meant for those who desire to get out of the material entanglement permanently. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. No one can write like that. No one. So clear. Deep. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva nurotamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirajat omagyana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jina tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manomishtam Stapitam Jiyanuttare Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadakri Swabhadantikam Mukham Karulivacham Pankam Longayate Girin Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurun Tamitatadam Namashrishtu Manu Abhisati Putram Atasurupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupudim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasam Prakto Yasya Patita Kripiyo Shivarum Tandato Smi Vandeham Shri Guru Shivita Padakamalam Shivarum Vaishnavascha Shilupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Bhadam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Uttade Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Anjavadi Pashyatya Rajasharane Kvajcha Kalpata Dhubhyascha Kumasripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hantai Madalavada Haridasya Vayo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha Manam tanoti sahago ganayosti yoya Pani yesu yivasakandana kandamunahai Matsamo nasti papatma Nabaradi nakaschana Puri hare pilajjane Kim ruve purushottama Yuvati nam tita yuni Yunam cha yavatao yata Mano vidipate tadvam, mano me ramatam twayi. Bhumau skalita padanam, bhumireva balambanam, twayi jata paradanam, twam meva charanam prabho. Govinda vallabhe radhe, Pratyetamaham sada tudiyam iti janatu govindomam tvaya saha Radhe vandanadishe karunamita vahini kripaya tapaparabja dasyam mayam pratyetam. Hare Krishna. So, Suta Goswami is speaking this verse. Normally, when great personalities, great sages, especially in the age of the Vedic age, would get together to perform sacrifice, especially this sacrifice, the prolonged sacrifice of glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead through elaborate recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other scriptures that's being hinted at in this verse. The senior person, the person, wisest person, the most experienced person, is selected by the sages to speak. But Suta Goswami was special. Suta Goswami was the son of Ramaharshan Suta. That's why his name is Suta. And you may remember that at the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, just before the Battle of Kurukshetra began, Lord Balaram, who by his own sweet will, the pastimes of Krishna, Lord Balaram, are called Naralila. Nara means human, human-like. Their pastimes are human-like, and therefore sometimes they behave in ways that human beings behave, but they're not human beings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, what to speak of transcendental knowledge. So in this pastime, is Naralila. He was the greatest club fighter. He knew how to fight with a club better than anyone. And so Duryodhana, you know, who's not exactly in our camp, right? He's in the other camp. There's always two camps in this material world. The camp of Krishna, or of Krishna's incarnation, or of Krishna's devotees, and those who are against Krishna and Krishna's incarnations and Krishna's devotees. So Duryodhana is in the other camp. And he knew that this was going to be a real test because Krishna was on the other side, fighting on the side of the Pandavas, even though Krishna had told Arjuna that I won't fight in the battle, but so you can have me, or you can have my armies. And he had a very substantial army, Krishna. And of course Arjuna took Krishna, knowing that wherever Krishna is, there's victory, no matter what the circumstances appear to be on the external plane. Krishna, wherever Krishna is, especially if Krishna's in your heart, you will be successful. You will conquer the modes of material nature, as Prabhupada is explaining here in this purport. So, Duryodhana, knowing this, that he was really up against it, he had a big problem on his hands. He thought, I'd better become as expert as possible. So he went to Balaram, and he became Balaram's disciple at club fighting, You know, we think, you know, disciple, guru, we think of it in a certain way, but in the Vedic culture, if you wanted to learn anything, you had to go to a guru. You know, that's the system, that's the way of this world. Here, Sutta Goswami, when his father, Lord Balaram, decided, I'm not going to fight this battle, but I don't want to be around to watch it, because it's going to be very painful, because he knew that his disciple, Duryodhana, was going to get defeated. So in this Naralila, in which there's competition, even with Krishna and Balaram sometimes, a little difficult to understand, that's a big subject. Maybe we can discuss that later on at the end when we have questions. But he decided he was going to go on pilgrimage. So he went on pilgrimage, and in his travels, he came upon the... Because he went to all the holy places. When you go traveling, it's not like now, you go to travel to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa or, you know, Grand Canyon or some other natural phenomenon that everybody thinks that if they don't go and see, their life is not going to be perfect, right? You know, it's the purpose of the world, right? To have fun. So just go out and look and see everything. And if you can see everything, or the more you can see, then the more successful you think you are. And then in the end, you die. Anyway, and you don't know, you know, how many places can you see in the universe? Not very many. So anyway, the sages had selected Ramaharshan Sutta, and he was sitting on the seat, you know, expounding on this, because this was a 1,000-year sacrifice. This was not Bhagavatam class, you know. This was not even, you know, the 7-day, you know, sacrifice of, you know, Parikshit Maharaj when he found out he was going to die and heard the Bhagavatam for 7 days and 7 nights and then went back to Godhead. This is 1,000 years. Serious sacrifice. So Ramaharshan Sutta was no, he was no slouch. Excuse the expression, Western lowly expression, but he was a quite exalted person. But when Lord Balaram came into the assembly, Ramaharshan Sutta did not get off the seat to offer him respect. Balaram looked at him and he said, what is this? Performing 1,000-year sacrifice for the purpose of glorifying me, and you're not even going to get off the seat to offer me some respect? So in order to make the point, because Lord Balaram is a very special person, he makes his point in very special ways sometimes, he took a piece of grass and he walked up to Ramaharshan Sutta and he just touched him with the grass and killed him on the spot. The sages were like, wow, you know, what's going on here? He's the leader of us, he's the most wise person, and you killed him? You better, you know, you're going to have to do something about that. You have to put some extra austerities, extra sacrifice. And Balaram said, okay, I'll do whatever you like. And he said, so I can bring you back to life if you'd like. Balaram said, he's the Supreme Personality God. He can do anything. He's in control of everything. By adhyakshana prakriti. Sri Sri Shacharachanam. Etanan any konteya jagat. Nibari bhartite. The whole world, jagat, is under his jurisdiction. He never becomes controlled by the mode of material nature. He never is under the laws of material nature. So it's okay, so I can, I'll, you know, make up for my sin. Of course he can't sin, but he's Naralila. This is Naralila. He's playing like he sinned. So I'll bring him back to life. No, no, no. Lord, we can't, they're in the bind, these sages. Here they know that this is the Lord, and what he did was nobody else could do. So they're on one hand, you know, trying to do something as an example for humanity for the rest of history, and at the same time, they have to offer him possible proper respect because he's the Supreme Lord. So, no, no, don't, you can't do that. And Balaram said, okay, I'll do whatever you say. So you have to go on pilgrimage. And anyway, they gave him so many conditions. And he agreed. And then he said, okay, I'll put on the seat, guess who? The son of Ramaharshan Sutta. He won't let me bring him back to life. So when the son speaks, it's as good as when the father speaks. So I will put Sutta, Ramaharshan Sutta, on the seat. And therefore, it is as if Ramaharshan Sutta is going to be speaking. And everybody was very happy. This is Krishna. This is Krishna. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't become bewildered. Even there's contradictory things in front of him. You know, he always decides, and he always empowers his devotees to decide. This is the symptom of empowered personalities, spiritually empowered personalities. They have transcendental intelligence. They know what to do. They can solve problems not by following a rule. Prabhupada said here, the living being is in a state of forgetfulness of his relation with God due to his being overly attracted to material sense gratification from time immemorial. His struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual, and it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans. People generally make plans according to the rules and regulations, the laws of nature, but Krishna is beyond the laws of material nature. So this is may seem a little off the point of the verse, but it's not off the point at all. Because here, Sutta Goswami, the kind of basis of the book, or the basis of the narration, has been given. You know, Krishna has been established as the Supreme Absolute Truth at the outset. First verse of the Bhagavatam establishes Krishna as the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of all other incarnations, the source of the material modes of nature, the source of everything. Param Satyam Timihi. And Param Satyam Dimihi means that it is a truth that is for Param, it is for the Paramahansas. It is for the most elevated of persons in the material world. Oops. That's, yeah, he just fell on his foot. Uh-oh. Got off on the wrong foot. He fell down the stairs when he came in. Hare Krishna. Hare Gopal. So now that the scene is set, Sutta Goswami is now going to speak the Bhagavatam. And what's the first thing he does? Before reciting this Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances to the Personality of Godhead. Why? Because he saw what his father did. These are not just stories. This is not mythology. These things actually happen. These are real persons. You can't make a plan to get out of this material world. You have to submit to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sanatana Goswami, in the second part of Riya Bhagavatamrita, he explains how the Vaikuntha Dutas, that Gopal Kumar, we got a new Gopal Kumar here, just about ready to show up, you know, Chaitanya Nanda's the newest baby, Gopal Kumar, we're going to offer him later on to the Lord, lotus feet of the Lord, making prasad. Turning into prasad. So Gopal Kumar received instructions direct from the Vaikuntha Dutas. Or Narada Muni, one or the other, they were both there, I can't remember. It was either Vaikuntha Dutas or Narada, but he was discussing the prerequisites for achieving love for Krishna. You can't get out of this material world unless you have become completely free from the bodily identification and therefore the tendency to engage in material sense gratification. And you can't do that unless you are in love with Krishna. That love is there in the heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema Siddha. The love for God is in the heart of every living being. Every living being. From the microbe to the biggest and most powerful demigod in the universe. Therefore, we should be very careful how we treat everyone. Not that we just give respect to one person and then, you know, to the rest, never mind. So, Gopal Kumar learned that the prerequisite for achieving prema is called dainya. And dainya is a very special word. Lord Chaitanya, we chant every morning, Trinadapi Srinijna, Tarodapi Sahishna, Amanina Mananena, Kirtaniya Sadahadi. You can't chant Hare Krishna perpetually without stopping unless you are humble. And not just humble, but extremely humble. The word is translated generally by the Acharyas as utter humility. Utter humility means that we think that every single living being in the universe is better than I am. And the opposite of that is that I am better than every other living being in the universe. And all of us are somewhere in between. Krishna has organized it so brilliantly, this material world, that as you go up, the tendency to be proud of our birth, as a Brahmin especially, because that's the, you know, most elevated birth in the material world. So the tendency to become proud is greater there than in any other position, except maybe for demigods. So dainya means the extreme of humility. And not the kind of humility which means, oh no, everyone else is better than me, so I should just shrivel up and go into the corner and just vegetate. No, dainya is so special that the person thinks every other living being is better than me, but at the same time is filled with exalted qualities. And his behavior shows it. In other words, he does extraordinary things. He even sometimes becomes leaders of human society. But he's thinking that everyone is better than him. This rare form of humility, which is hardly ever achieved, is so special and so important that Sanatana Goswami describes it to be literally non-different than prema. Non-different than prema. The causal and effectual relationship between dainya and prema is so intimate that one is the cause and the effect of the other both. And therefore, according to Riya Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, they are considered by real authorities to be the same. If you see someone who is either acting like they have prema, or promoting someone who is supposed to have prema, but you don't see the symptoms of humility in that person, then you should reserve yourself. You know, not just hear, you know, and go there and submit. This is the example that Sutta Goswami is showing in this verse. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. Now it's the marathon. Those of you who are going out in the marathon, participating in any level, either going out yourselves distributing books, or back at the temple maintaining the atmosphere, or, you know, providing the food and the everything that you need, like an army, you know, when they come back from the war, the ones who go out and on the front lines, they get the ticker tape on their heads. You know, the big parade, you know, Fifth Ave, Oxford Street, ticker tape on your head, the heroes. But in order for them to go out there and do that, there has to be a whole arrangement behind them. This is the Sankirtan movement. To preach Krishna consciousness in this world, you have to be humble. And to do it regularly, and to do it with, you know, exalted results, requires that special humility. Trinada Pisa Sunichina, Tarota Pisa Hishnana, Amanina Manadeina. This is a side of it. We know we're supposed to be more tolerant than a tree. You know, somebody comes and takes our arm and says, get out of here. That's okay, no problem. You know, or, you know, somebody, you know, spits on us or tramples on us when we're out there, and we can just bounce back like the grass. You know, you step on the grass and it goes down, and as soon as you move on, the grass goes whoop, back up again. And this is the way we're supposed to be as humble souls. But amanina amanadena is an aspect of this verse, an aspect of this humility that's very important. Means, even if people don't give me respect, I give them respect in return. You learn this on Sankirtan in a way that you can't learn it anywhere else. Going from person to person, and what percentage of them say yes. Depending on how expert you are, there's percentages. But in the overall scheme of things, very few will say yes. Now, in this Kali Yuga, in this age, where coral is like, you know, at its height, and confusion at its height, and the quarrelsome nature at its height, and it's pervading everywhere, never mind, you know, politics, religion, corporation, you know, family, it's everywhere. The tendency to quarrel, you know, the tendency to have a no, Prabhupada used to say. Kali Yuga is so pernicious that there's a no inside before the person even comes up to you. No. Excuse me, sir. No. It's not that they're just saying no to you. They're saying no to everybody and everything, practically, if it doesn't have something to do with their sense gratification. So, the Bhagavatam is the incarnation of the personality of Godhead. The personalities that are in the Bhagavatam are real personalities. So when you read the Bhagavatam, you're supposed to be getting their association. We're not reading the Bhagavatam in order to become learned so that we can lord it over others, so that we can become the authorities. That's a byproduct of becoming knowledgeable in Krishna consciousness. That will happen. You don't have to go for that. You don't have to try for that. That happens automatically. That's not the goal of the Bhagavatam. The goal of the Bhagavatam is to associate with these persons, literally, and to associate with Srila Prabhupada, the most empowered preacher in the history of the world. That's a big statement, and I'm not saying that just because I'm his disciple and I have abiding love for him. It's practical. When he was challenged on the seat, and he was challenged sometimes on the seat by a rowdy group of students in France or Australia or some wherever he was preaching, and sometimes he would get just, you know, really heavy challenges. You know, he was talking about the Bhagavatam, the Varnashram one time, and he was talking about the first class and the second class and the third class and the fourth class, and hand went up immediately. What class are you? Prabhupada said, 10th class. He didn't argue with him. He immediately took the humble position. Me, I'm 10th class. That's how he was feeling. Therefore, the quality of the sound and the effect of his company, of his association, was that you would understand things that were way beyond your capacity to understand or your qualification to understand. So we're reading Bhagavatam, we're offering respect from the very beginning of reading Bhagavatam to the personalities who are responsible for bringing us to Bhagavatam. That is called gratitude. Gratitude is so important that Mother Earth, in the Mahabharata, there's a verse in which Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, says there's only, because she takes care of everyone no matter what, all the demons and devotees and nice people and rascals, they're all being maintained by Bhumi Devi from her body. You know, it's not that corn doesn't grow in a patch of land that is, you know, being, you know, tilled by somebody who's a... No. Of course, there are extraordinary circumstances. Before Prithu Maharaj, it became so bad that the earth just withdrew. And it's happening now. It's happening now. Don't think that the Bhagavatam is just a story. The things that you're seeing now happening, all of these huge disasters, you know, that are happening all over the world, more and more, they're happening because the people who are in charge, they don't know what they're doing, and they are basically atheists. And therefore, Bhumi is withholding. And the material nature, including the demigods, are, you know, pushing back. So, this is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. From the very beginning, we offer our respects. Narayanam Maspitya. Naram Chaiva. And don't notice, it's Narayana. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is established as the absolute truth, the source of everything, including Narayana. Sutta Goswami knows this perfectly well. And yet, first thing he says, Narayana in the scripture. Because there's no difference between Narayana and Krishna. It's the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is his source, and Krishna manifests all the opulences of the Godhead, whereas Narayana and other manifestations, although they're potentially all-powerful and can manifest everything because they're Krishna, they don't. They manifest different portions of Krishna's potencies. But Krishna, he is this full-fledged Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all other incarnations, the source of everything and everyone. But having accepted that doesn't mean that we don't respect the incarnations of Krishna. This is another important lesson of this verse. Sometimes people who try to go to the rasik side prematurely, they're only going to talk about Krishna and the gopis and whatever. And sometimes even they will neglect or in an extreme case, become averse to another incarnation of Krishna, which, by the way, are very dear to Krishna. Even though Krishna is the source of them all, he manifests all of the different incarnations when he lives in Braj. You read about that book I just finished editing, Shiva Ramaji's book. There's all kinds of pastimes in which Krishna, you know, manifests Lord Boar, or, you know, or Lord Narayan, or Ramachandra, or the different incarnations in Braj, as, you know, a Leela when he's playing with the cowherd boys, with the gopis. And the Acharyas say that those incarnations are more potent than the original incarnations that may be in Vaikuntha planet somewhere, because they are actually Krishna, the full-fledged personality, manifesting them, you know, in a way that is extremely special for the pleasure of the cowherd boys and the gopis. When Gopakumar was going from one place to another on his way to find the place where that special love for Krishna, which was described in the first part of Brihat Bhagavatam, was actually accommodated, was there a place that could accommodate such a wonderful love of God that was shown by the gopis and the cowherd boys and the Brajvasis, the unconditional love of God that transcended even the respect that we offer, that's being described here, to the personality of Godhead. In Goloka Vrindavan, they don't even, actually they do. They do know that Krishna is God. But their love for him is in such a special variety that they can't see that. Mother Yashoda can't see. She can't accept. Krishna shows her, you know, in his mouth, the whole universe, inside his mouth. And she just takes this as some kind of temporary aberration that just happened. Anyway, take this, eat this, you'll be okay, don't worry. So, but if you go there prematurely, thinking that you can, you know, stop respecting, you know, the in your external, ordinary, day-to-day life in this world, even though you're a devotee, even though you're advanced, even though you know everything, if you don't show respect to the incarnations of Krishna, and here it's interesting because Saraswati is the goddess of learning. So if you don't show proper respect to Saraswati, if you don't show proper respect to the author of the book, Vyasadeva, you're not going to understand. You're not going to be able to understand. You may learn the verses, and you may be able to rattle them off like the wind, and everybody may go, oh, did you hear that? Oh, Prabhuji. Oh, Master. Finally understood. You're intelligent. This is not a manina. Even if those who are in that position, they think themselves as a servant of the disciples. The guru thinks himself the servant of the disciple, not the master. As soon as he thinks he's the master, he's something else, which we won't get into at the moment. So to imbibe this knowledge, to apply the knowledge, means the rule and the regulation is not the master. The rule and the regulation are servants of the master. And the master is love for Krishna. The purpose of everything that we do is to reawaken that love for Krishna, which is now manifest as love for our family, our country, our husband, wife, children, community, whatever. Those are all perverted reflections of our love for Krishna. And the purpose even of doing those things is to do it in a way that can reawaken our love for Krishna. And what is the basis of that love? It's described right here in this verse. It's called respect. It's called respect, and it's called what comes from respect. In terms, respect is the attitude. And what is the practical application of that respect?
Service.
Service. You know, it's we do something about it. We don't just think it. We act. We give the respect by our words and our deeds and our Bhagavatam is the means of conquest. You can't overcome the modes of material nature any other way in this world except by chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But in order to do that, you have to be sitam. The second verse of Bhagavatam. Paramo nirmatsaranam sitam. Paramo nirmatsaranam. If you want to go to the Supreme, then nirmatsaranam, you must become humble. Means not envious. Nirmatsaranam means not envious. Idam tu te guyatama. Pravaksham anusuyave, 9th chapter, 1st verse, Bhagavad Gita, anusuyave, without envy. Idam tu te guyatama pravaksham anusuyave, gyanam viganam sanidam yajgyatva mokshesheshupai. I'm explaining this to you, Arjuna, because you're not envious of me. And sitam, paramo nirmatsaranam sitam. Sitam means honest. Honest means not just you pay your bills on time, you know, and you show up on the time you're supposed to show up. That's part of honesty. It's a part of honesty. But the level of honesty that's being spoken of here is the level of honesty that comes when you hear the truth, when you hear something that's true and you can accept it. And the opposite is, even if someone says it's something that's true, because it's not said in exactly the way you're thinking about it, you argue. What happens to us when we're hearing the Bhagavatam inside is, as soon as an idea comes that we don't understand or we don't agree or whatever, because of that pride, our mind says, yes, but I remember somebody said, no, I can't do it. In the meantime, three or four sentences have come after that in which the thing was explained that you didn't hear. Because your mind is saying, what about, I heard this, I know this better than that. The mind goes on and on and on, on and on and on. I drew a blank, I can't remember his name. Danny Roy, sorry. Oh, Danny Roy! Hey, Danny Roy! That's a way of seeing. Danny Roy immediately is quiet, right? Why? They gave me a present when I left in Brijadam. Really nice. It's kind of like a parchment, big, you know, framed thing. And on the parchment, there's a nice little, little thank you for doing this service or editing the book. And then every single devotee signed it from New Brijadam. They're like, I don't know, a couple of hundred, 250. And so I had it in my, a couple of days before I left, because I just got it. And everybody that came in, they looked for their name. Or I signed. See, I signed it by just. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means we're all looking for our names. Why are we looking for our name? Because we're parts of Krishna. Krishna's always looking for his name. So what happens when you chant Hare Krishna? He's going, oh yeah, right. Therefore he says, I'm not in the hearts of yogis. I'm not where they perform great sacrifices. I'm where the devotees are hearing and chanting my glories. Where they're doing sankirtan. Where they're doing nam sankirtan. And nam sankirtan in this movement means to use everything in the glorification of the Lord. And if we do that, then we are associating with the personalities in the Bhagavatam, and we are being respectful to the persons of the Bhagavatam. And that respect, how does it translate? I get back to the point that I missed. Sorry, I forgot, I got off my track. The point, how do you demonstrate that respect? By obedience. By obedience to the desires of the Krishna and the spiritual master and the authorities. Everyone has learned everything that we have learned by this process. Don't think that this is something that just we're doing. We just happen to know who the actual supreme authority is, and we're lucky, very lucky. But everyone has learned, every one of us has learned whatever we've learned, anything, from hearing from authority. Mommy, what's that? Daddy, what's that? Because when we come out, we don't know anything. Donnie Roy, is that right? They don't know. We don't know anything when we come up. And we get, when we grow up old enough to be able to tell our mommy and daddy what's wrong with us, because, you know, normally when we start crying, it's because a bug is biting us, or somebody's done something, or something's happening, and the mother's thinking it needs to be fed. So he's, take this. No, here we are. And we're proud. We think we know something. We think we're better than others. No. Every single person in the universe is learning whatever they've learned by this process of submissive hearing. And if you become rebellious against your mom and dad, then you become learning disabled. That's what it is. That's what learning disability is. You stop being able to hear. The Bhagavatam is meant to be heard with rapt attention. It means in the mind, there should be not anything else going on except the Bhagavatam, because these personalities are there, present personally, and the sound vibration, their explanations are real. They're coming right from the spiritual platform. And if you're busy in your mind making up another alternative so that you'll be able to argue with the speaker, then look what happens to Roma Harshan Sutra. Careful. See, so the respect has to translate. The respect is the attitude. That attitude is translated into obedience. And that obedience is what? It is the foundation of love. Somebody you love, if they ask you to do something, will you say no? I mean, really. If you really love somebody, the Lord of your life, and if they ask you to do something, you're going to say no? No. This is the test of whether you love someone. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirajat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Śrīla Vyāsadeva, the author. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Jagannātha Baladeva Śrīmati Shri Shri Radha Vandaneshwara ki jai. Samabeda Hare Krishna. Okay, Chief.
Would you like to ask
Keshavarti? Yes! The wrong guy.
Questions?
Any questions? Yes, sir.
Sometimes when we hear someone speak, And you explained that sometimes in our mind we argue so we don't hear properly. Sometimes we're taking something on board and assimilating it away so that we can understand it and we still miss something. Is that considered as not hearing God?
Absolutely.
Is it arguing?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Jai Tre, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. So nice to see you again. It's such a long time.
So I was just going back to that point. I mean, for example, if you have a cup and there's something already in there, you have to take it out before you can put the right thing in.
Yeah.
So people have many misconceptions, don't they, about
this? Yeah.
So, and I'm thinking they would have to reveal those to you, wouldn't they? And they come out as doubts.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's true. Yes, that's true. But still, in the process of hearing,
yes,
while the hearing is going on,
yes,
as long as that doubt is there,
yes,
then that doubt will prevent the hearing from going on in such a way that the person's, you know, class or, you know, instruction or whatever will actually do it. Then there has to be something after on, which is what the question and answer session is all about,
yes,
right? Is to clear the doubt, because that's a very good point you brought up, as usual. You always bring up very good points and very good questions, and the questions are very important. Depending on the quality of the question, then you get the answer. And asamshiyam samagam mam ita gyasyasi touch chinu. You see? This is the verse. Mai asakta manaparta yogam yunjan manashraya. Manashraya means to take shelter of Krishna. Now Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Maya Saktamana, I'm going to teach you how to take shelter of me now. Maya Saktamana Partha Yogam Yunjan. This is an old science. This is yoga. This is what yoga means. You know? And what is it? Asang Shayam Samagram Mam without doubt. Touch Trinu. Hear from me. Without doubt. That is the process. And that means rapt attention. Rapt attention means that the mind is not doing something else while it's hearing. It's not an easy thing to, it's not that I'm trying to make it sound, you know, like so easy or so hard. I'm just stating a fact. Just stating a fact. I'm not trying to browbeat anybody with, you know, how hard it is or the fact that we're not doing it yet or whatever. Because it's our duty to say what the conclusion is and what the truth is and what the means of attaining that conclusion is. Because this is part of humility. This is part of what breeds humility. You know? To actually be qualified, you have to be able to control your mind when you chant and hear. Your mind can't be doing other things. You won't get the full, you know, when you hear, it goes into this hole. Everybody has holes in the side of the head. What did Jesus say? Let those who have ears hear. Let those who have ears hear. Well, I've got them, ears, here they are. He doesn't mean just these flaps on the side of the head with a hole that vibrate these little tiny filaments and make a sound. And that's not what hearing means. It's got to go from there to the mind. And from the mind, the mind's got to let it go to the intelligence. The intelligence got to let it go to the soul. The hearing is meant to go to the soul. When the hearing goes to the soul, when the hearing actually goes to the soul, and you're glorifying Krishna, which is what, you know, preaching is, then the soul goes, yeah! And before that, you know, the soul's, you know, What? It's like, you know, you're trying to tune into a radio station and you're in the wrong, you know, you're trying to listen to your favorite sports thing or to see who won, and just in the middle it goes in a way you can't, huh? What? Oh no. So the soul's in there going, huh? What? Oh, no, wait. No, I won't. And the mind's going, no, no. Intelligence going, no, 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 no. So the sound has to go through to the mind, it has to go through the intelligence to the soul. And then the soul wakes up. That's why Prabhupada repeated again and again. This is not knowledge that is contrived. It's not that you're putting something there that isn't there, and it's not contrived. It's there, and it's there, and in between is the problem. You know? So as soon as we submit, actually submit, means with the mind, with the intelligence. That's what, but your point is well taken. Even if you're not there, you shouldn't feel discouraged. You know, rapt attention means, before you can come to rapt attention, you have to come to the stage where you don't allow anything to go in that you don't understand. That's very tricky. Because especially if you're like a Brahmanly qualified with birth who really knows a lot, the tendency when something comes in is, oh yeah, I know that. All right, yeah. As soon as you go, oh yeah, I know that, then something else has already gone in that you've missed while you're saying, I know that. The speaker, whoever is trying to instruct you, Krishna, this is Krishna trying to instruct us through the Bhagavatam, through the recitation of the Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada describes in one very important purport that to hear with rapt attention means that you have to hear with a pure mind. And to have a pure mind, you have to be pure in your activities. And to be pure in your activities, you have to be pure in your eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So just see right there what Prabhupada gave us, a whole lifestyle, once you're initiated. If you do those things really sincerely, then the mind and the intelligence gradually, and part of it is this process, inquiring. Tadviti paripashin, pariprasnina sevya, pariprasnina. You've got to ask questions. So that's part of the process of removing the doubts. But if the doubt is so strong that it's in the person or the persons or the process itself or, you know, the possibility that truth exists, which is what's going on today by the so-called most learned people of the world, the scientists and philosophers and educators and big leaders, then how are you going to get it? So even when you can hear everything, but you've got it, so that's part of what brings one to rapt attention. You know, I don't understand that. Then you note it, and then ask the question, then you get that doubt removed, and if you're honest, satam, there we go again, right back to satam. If you're honest, then as you hear, and as the doubt is removed, then that's not there anymore. That doubt's not there anymore. But if you're still doubtful about the same thing, and the next speaker that comes up, you ask the same question, what you're really trying to do is stump the speaker. I see it all the time. You go back and you go to another place, you come back, to this, and the same guy's in the front asking the same question. But yeah, but Maharaj, but what about this? I mean, didn't we answer that question like 6 months ago? 6 months later, yeah, Maharaj, but what about this? It means his doubt's not being removed. Why? Touch Janu. He's not hearing. We have to want to hear. All this is based on desire. We came into this world based on our desire, and we can leave this world based on a desire. Means the only thing you can change is your desire. So rather than want to be the guy who's sitting here and take the accolades and take the whatever, and even maybe, you know, somebody's going to need 25 quid, you know, because I'm here, and, oh, Maharaj, you're a dick. If it's like that, if that's the reason, then you're not going to get anything. You get the 25 quid. But you're not going to get the real thing. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Just sometimes one might pray to their lordships asking to remove attachments. And one of the main things we're attached to is the body. So say one can get a certain disease that helps him to be breathing less, to associate water, be attached to his body, to associate himself with his body. And then at some point this disease might become an impediment from the spark.
No, that's not an impediment. That is not a desire for material sense gratification. If you're a sincere devotee and you've got some obstacle to your service, like a disease or whatever, you know, then you pray to Krishna to either remove that or whatever. That is not a material desire. He may do it or may not do it. That's not up to you. But that's not a material desire. It's not that you just don't ask anything from, like I said before, you just sit in the corner and don't do anything. Don't say anything, don't do anything, and that means you're really submissive. No, that's not real submission. So there's a very nice book, Raghavachandrika. I don't know if you've heard of that book, where Vishwanathachandra analyzes these things. And he describes all the things that are favorable, that are neutral, you know, and some of the things that are favorable, you know, or neutral are not to be avoided. There are things that should be avoided. I don't have the details in my head right now. I can't remember. But I'm trying to represent his point of view, which is, you know, there are things you can ask for from Krishna that are not sense gratification. Please, Krishna, please remove the impediments from my heart so that I can love you and serve you. That's not a material desire. On the other hand, if you pray, oh Lord, please liberate me, and your desire is to get out of the difficulty, to get relief from the suffering or whatever, that's sense gratification. That's an impediment. It depends on the consciousness. It depends on the quality of your consciousness and the actual ultimate motive of your question. So even one person will be asking exactly the same question as another. One may be acceptable and one may not be acceptable. That's why it's not so easy to understand these things, these subtle things about how to advance in devotional service. Because to read a person's mentality and motives is not so easy. That takes time. So that's the kind of question that, you know, it's a little, not misleading, but if I answer it in a black and white way, then it may not answer it. And people may take it out of context and they, you know, pray for a certain thing and think it's all right. But in reality, what they really want is something that's not right, or their motivation is not right. That's why we always try to go back to this level of foundation. The foundation is respect, and the translation of that mentality is obedience, and that respectful obedience is you do what your beloved wants you to do. It's not that just because I'm obedient means that I'm a slave, that I have to do it or else. Or maybe there's a level of advancement that you have to do that, but as you go forward, you're obedient because you want to be, because you want to please that person and you don't want anything else. At the end of that spectrum, at the end of that spectrum, Srimati Radharani is there at the top, and she's saying, what if my misery is what gives you pleasure? Then my misery is my greatest pleasure. That is the end of surrender. That is unconditional, selfless surrender. That's the goal. But you can't imitate that. If you try to imitate that, you'll fall on your face, sure. As the path is strewn with, you know, victims of that mentality. It's a big subject. And it's almost 9:15, so I'm going to stop now. We need to keep hearing and keep inquiring and keep serving and keep hearing and keep inquiring and keep serving. But know that we should be on the right path. And the right path is that we are removing our doubts It's not that when you ask a question and you get a reasonable answer and you can't accept the reasonable answer, it means you got a problem. And that problem's got to be removed. And if you can't do it yourself, then Krishna will remove it by making some arrangements to reveal it to you in sometimes very dramatic ways. And he never makes mistakes. He always gives us exactly what we need. And until we stop fighting it, then we will, you know, stay here in this material world and enjoy and suffer. Okay, I'm stopping you. Hare Krishna. Shiva Prabhupada ki
jai.
Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda
ki jai.
Go Premanandi.
Hare Krishna. Namaste Swami Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
To thank Raj for coming and being with us. He's just finished a big project with his holiness Shivaram Maharaj, and now he's on his way to the lotus feet of Giri Govardhan. And we're very fortunate to have him here with us, stop over in London and spend some time and give us his divine and wonderful association. Thank you, Maharaj. Please let us express our gratitude and appreciation by chanting very loudly three Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari
Bol! And also like to welcome another special guest who's back with us for the first time, and it's Krishna Das Prabhu.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Very nice to have you back with us. I just can't believe it's so amazing and remarkable that he's already here back at our association in such a short time. You shared with me that, and I think I've shared with everyone here also, that he really sincerely felt the prayers of the devotees have really been the criteria for his rapid recovery. So, really wonderful to have you back with us, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Also, his family are here. I think they disappeared in and out. Nice to have them too. So a couple of things. We're going to have a quick Sankirtan story for the marathon if Alexi Guru is here. So, it's quick. Okay. I'm sure it could be long, but we could keep it brief. At least we have a couple of. We have a couple of little programs that we're going to do immediately after I carry on. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for this opportunity to share with you just a few things that happened there on the street. And I decided to keep aside all the usual stories about big donations and just to focus on more subtle ones. Just a few positive things that on our trolleys we had this nice poster, A4 format, with Hare Krishna. So hundreds of thousands of people which would pass by, they see the very holy name and chant Hare Krishna in their own way. So this spot on the opposite surface, it's almost nourished with this powerful name these days. And just a couple of funny things happened. I was speaking to my mother and her daughter, and she was holding a book and just, you know, kind of holding it in her hand firmly. And then all of a sudden just jumped onto his hand and she gave the donation and she took a book. It's very interesting that very often I observe that if you give the book to somebody, they take the book, they give Lakshmi, and then they change the way they were going. They just go the other way around.
That's right.
It happens so often.
That's right. Absolutely.
Just right on the spot, it somehow changes their karma, their whatever. And yesterday I met one guy who's tall, strong, black-bodied, and I spoke to him, and he maybe British, maybe British African something. So his name is Krishna. He literally didn't know anything about Lord Krishna. He kind of heard once about Bhagavad Gita, so he was quite surprised to see the book, and I spoke a few words about Lord Krishna, and I thought, well, he has so many amazing ways how to spread his own name in a most sublime way, but apart from that, he is also a warrior, so he's basically a military guy. So I asked him if he actually killed people. And he said, I have. And I thought, wow, I've never seen anybody more than the exact thing which he told him. But basically, Bhagavad Gita is about the warrior who was on a field and thinking to kill or not to kill, and the whole thing around it. So I thought, for you to be just absolutely new with realizing or understanding this book, he took it, he gave a nice donation. And the actual nice story. There was one family passing by, and it was a mom and two, maybe 16, 18 years old sons, and one little girl, perhaps 3-4 years old, on the shoulders of one of them. So they were passing by, and they were seemingly very much, at least neutral, but maybe even cold. And I was still offering the book, and this little girl on the top, she grabbed it and held it on. So I catched up with them saying that, started preaching that, you know, it's an amazing thing, this book is spiritual, and up to a certain age, kids, they're very much connected, they very easily get connected with spiritual energy because there hasn't been untaught about all kinds of things. So this mom, she was a little bit demoniac. She was saying, give the book back, give the book back. And she was holding on, and you know, with a gentle smile, and suggested, oh, that's mine. And I and then, okay, and then I asked for some donation, and she was saying, yeah, you know, you should give a donation. Without even saying a word, but just smiling and give the book. So one of the sons started going into the wallet, and he took out 1.5 pounds, I believe, out of his wallet. And this mom, she kind of cried stop and just about to take it back. But Lakshmi jumped out of his hand, so it was on the floor, on the ground, and I picked it up. it happened pretty much in the same spot where the book jumped out, so, you know, Krishna jumps into the hands of people on the street, Lakshmi jumps out of their bones. And that's very quick but very sweet. Opposite service station, and that's the side where, opposite to the top shop. So there was a long row of Indian young boys and girls. They're all about 22 to 26 years old. And coming back from Vrindavan, they're very much different to the way Indian people look there. So they're very much affected by Maya, in a sense, how they dress, how they behave. And five of these boys, they pretty much all of them had these sunglasses, and they all tried to be stylish and, you know, cool and westernized. Ladies were pretty much the same. So I approached with, I think, as usual, a few Bhagavad Gita's and one Veda, and I was preaching, passing by, and trying to catch attention at least any of those gentlemen that were standing on the side, and none of them responded. And then all of a sudden, Krishna gave me this beautiful pastime which we heard in Vrindavan, and I started approaching Mataji, saying, that's exactly how it was in Srimad Bhagavatam, where friends of Krishna Balaram, they were sent by him to the Brahmins to get some food, and none of them responded. So now I go to the wives of the Brahmins to ask for some questions. Somehow Krishna softened their hearts. These ladies, they start looking at the books. And then I remembered how Ras Vilas, or Ras Kavindadas, it's one of the top book distributors in Chirpati. He said that the thing with Indian, especially when it's a group, that you should get Lakshmi from one of them, and then everybody would leave. So I started focusing on one favorable person, and she gave Lakshmi, they took two books, and then Brahmana started giving Lakshmi as well. Actually, there were 10 people, pretty much everybody gave something, and they took three books. Krishna's pastime. Please pray for the devotees who are there. Sometimes stuff. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. In a parking lot in Oakland, California. You know about Oakland, California? It was a really dicey neighborhood, to say the least. And I was, doing pretty well. You know, you're out there and you're giving books and putting what? Money in the bag. You keep putting money in the bag. Always amazed me when I was doing full-time books, especially at the beginning, because there are people that are out there that are so desperate for money. And then you see one boy, young man, or whatever woman, out there collecting money and putting it in the bag. I mean, yeah, that's a real target, for anybody who would want to steal. But hardly any devotees in the history of our movement have been robbed. So I had one close call. I suddenly realized that I felt like somebody was watching me. And I looked and I saw kind of like in the shadow behind a car. And turns out there was a group of six or seven, a gang of young men. And they were like coming in on me like this. Right? And there I was with a bag full of money. And so as soon as I realized what happened, I stopped and I turned and I looked at one of them and I said, go ahead, you take this money, but I want you to know this money belongs to God. And if you take it, you're in big trouble. I went. And I kept at it. And I started chanting the Shingadev prayers, and they just went away. So Prabhupada says no book distribution. Okay, so we're going to read this.